1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Local Youth Worker, a podcast brought to you by Reformed Youth Ministries. I'm your host, John Parrott. This is episode number 437, and I'm here with Scott Heron again. Scott, how's it going?
Good, John. Good to see you. I'm really excited to be on episode 437. That was like my dream number.
Yeah, that's such a significant number. I know everybody's been longing for this episode. looking forward to talking with you. It's always just nice to be able to see you and catch up with you a little bit before we start recording. We're going to talk about a few things. And really at the outset, at the time of this recording, I guess we're a few days removed from this, but I saw the news that Florida had signed a bill that's going to be banning social media for children under the age of 14. Scott, had you seen this? Were you aware of this? I know I texted you and said, hey, let's just, talk about this for just a few minutes. This won't be the primary focus of the podcast today, but I just felt like we needed to make mention of it. But had you seen this prior to me texting you?
Yeah, somebody mentioned it to me. I think it was, I don't remember what day it was this week, but they said, did you see what happened in Florida, the banning of the social media? And I hadn't seen it. And so I looked it up real quick and read some articles and watched some videos. And you can kind of, the info isn't too difficult to understand. It's just this House Bill 3 and what it's doing. And it doesn't go into effect. So when I first heard the news, I thought, oh, wow, that's, that's a remarkable. But it doesn't really go into effect until next year, January 1st. So, I mean, great on one hand, like that they did this, but man, that's a long time, still 9 months. But, the nitty gritty is, anybody under 14 has to, they can't have a social media account, and anybody who's 14 and 15 have to have parent, consent to have a social media account. So I guess on one hand, like, it's great, it reminds me of our conversation about the child protection law, with the social media and, so I'm not sure what, I don't know. I guess I don't really know what to think of it. I know some people are really praising it. I did read another article that said, is this really going to do anything? It's going to change anything, Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think the initial, knee jerk response to it is encouragement. It's just, okay, this is continuing to hopefully move the conversation forward, raise awareness. And I think some of the encouragement too. So I looked at this New York Times article, and I'll link it in the show notes below. But something too that just encouraged me as I read this, it said, Governor DeSantis had vetoed a previous bill that would have banned social media accounts for 14 and 15 year olds, even with parental consent. The governor said, goes on to say, the governor said the earlier bill would impinge on parents' rights to make decisions about their children's online activity. So I bring that up as encouragement to say, it sounds like there's thoughtfulness behind this.
Yeah.
That he's measured maybe in the boundaries that he's seeking to set up, and just encouraged overall. But then you think, as you were saying, how is this going to be implemented? How is it going to actually be policed? What's going to happen? And you think of the social media giants. They've got a decent amount of money behind them that can probably push back on something like this. So you can't help but be a little cynical.
And isn't it true that DeSantis, I think, is, isn't he governor for another 2 years, I believe? I forget what his term's up.
We'll go with that. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll go with that. But, all that has to happen is a change of, a shifting of regimes and a change in the legislative body for this bill to be rescinded or to be changed, So, I like it on one hand, but it's not like this monolith, It's going to stay put forever. And also, I get where DeSantis is coming from, like allowing parents to make decisions for their children. I'm all about that. And I don't want to restrict that in any way legally, because that gets into some really difficult areas. But aren't parents the problem from the beginning?
That's right. And
I mean, let's just be honest. Like, you know, we're the ones that have the control anyway.
Yeah.
So
you're exactly right.
I don't. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. When you said, aren't parents the problem? Anyway, and it's like, yeah, that's the two of us. We're part of the problem.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. 100%. Yeah.
Anyone out there listening, know that we're not just coming after you parents. It's us in the trenches with you guys. But no, you're exactly right, Scott. And I do, appreciate that aspect of what Governor DeSantis is saying here. And something too, and I want to highlight this because really this will serve as a good segue into what we're going to be talking about today. But again, reading this New York Times article, it says, in addition to social media age restrictions, the new Florida statute requires online pornography services to use age verification systems to keep minors off their platforms.
Yeah.
So that's another aspect of this that's exciting, that people are helping to combat and to push back against just the porn industry. And Scott, that's really
always good.
Oh yeah. And that's what you and I are going to be discussing a little bit today. I mean, just for our listeners, I mean, we've talked about pornography, multiple times on this podcast, some specifically dealing with that topic, sometimes tangentially related to whatever it was we were talking about. But Scott and I wanted to kind of initiate another discussion about pornography. And really just kind of as I was talking about this with Scott, just really two fathers talking about this topic. You know, if Scott and I were to sit down at a coffee shop or somewhere else and discuss raising our own children in a, as many people have said before, a pornified culture, what are some of those concerns that we think about just with our own children? And, Scott, when I was doing youth ministry, I would tell parents I got tired of talking about pornography, but I knew I needed to. And really, I kind of thought maybe a place in which we could start is getting you to think, okay, do you remember the first time that you dealt with this in youth ministry? One of the earliest instances in which this issue came to the surface.
Right.
What you share. I don't know if you, there are obviously things that we'll have to keep kind of vague, but I mean, I'll just start by sharing and then you can chime in. I mean,
please do. I was actually, that was one of my questions. You told me to have three questions for you. And that was one of mine that I was going to ask you and then also how did you deal with that?
Now the one of the earliest ones I can remember is, just being at my office and a mom came in to talk with me, and I don't even think she had scheduled a time to come in, emailed me, or anything. It was just kind of, she was on campus and knocked on my door. And she said, that she had given her son a smartphone. I think this was maybe the earliest iPhone. Might have even been an iPod. So that kind of shows the time, how long ago that was. And she did not know it had internet access. And there was something that, I don't know if she was walking by her son's room, but she noticed he was awake and it was late, and she walks in and, discovers him looking at pornography, and she's in tears, and she felt, as a failure as a parent, not knowing what this device was capable of, and she felt beat up. And, I don't remember the specifics of what the conversation was. I'm sure tried to have some kind of comfort and consolation there, felt encouraged that she wanted to share this very, intimate thing with me, and just them as parents trying to figure out what to do. And I know there was follow-up with the father and then with the son. And so anyway, that was kind of the earliest. And then it just was more of the same stories after that, kind of repeated.
Yeah. What did you do? How did you minister to her at that moment?
I think it was just doing a lot of listening. I think especially since this was so early on, I was very young and so very clueless on what to do. But typically in those situations, it was just thanking them for coming forward and sharing this struggle, for wanting to invite me into the process, whatever it was that that looked like. I mean, typically with this, I mean, it was meeting with this student specifically and trying to encourage and pray with them and, you know, let them know they're not alone in this struggle. Those kinds of things. That was kind of the initial way that I would kind of enter into that.
Yeah, that's really good. I think I remember Walt talking about in his ministering to parents breakout at the leadership training in Pennsylvania that the importance of removing shame from difficult situations like this, you know? And he was referring to, we were talking specifically about students, but I think it's important to do the same thing with parents too, is to pull Absolutely. That shame away. And that sounds like what you did. For me, so it's so funny you said that you got tired of talking about pornography, or you felt wearisome about it, because it came up last night at youth group, and well, I brought it up. And I'm part of the 10th grade boys small group, and we were wrapping up and we prayed for one another, and gosh, there's like 9 kids in that group. It's huge. Wow. And and one of them said something about pornography. Is like, yeah, it's Scott's favorite topic. I was like, come on, guys. Okay, you're not wrong. It does come up a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a it's also an important topic, because the way you address that sin, that sexual sin, is oftentimes also the way we should address other sins in our lives too, you know, just the idolatry behind it. But
yeah.
So you asked me, yeah, the first time. So I, you know, it's kind of fuzzy. So back when you were a youth pastor, I was a school teacher. I was a high school teacher. And I remember that I was also volunteering in a youth group, and I remember it coming up there. And it was the same situation, like the, I think what, 2007 was the first iPhone, something like that. And I was, I was in Arkansas, and, it all felt very new. And, on one hand, it wasn't alarming. But on the other hand, it was kind of shocking in the sense that, oh yeah, I guess this is going to happen. I remember, it was just a boy, you know, as a young man, same situation, almost exactly what you described. And, you know, the first thing I always try to encourage him with is just that, man, praise the Lord that, you know, if you confess your sin or you get caught in your sin, the Lord is working in your life.
Amen. Yeah.
And, it's always more difficult generally when you get caught. It's always more difficult, but praise the Lord. And so I tried to encourage this young man that way. But you know, it's one of those things that you feel like you just don't have any sort of control over, right? It's like the weather in a way. It's like, mm-hmm. we can do things to tie stuff down when the wind comes, and we can kind of, you know, make plans for rain or snow or whatever, but it's going to come.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, yeah, such good counsel that you gave there, Scott, because yeah, similarly, it's one of those things of, you know, oftentimes in that discussion, if a student is caught in it, or if a student by the prompting of the Spirit confesses to the parents or to me, you know, it's evidence that the Father's pursuing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord loves them. I mean, if they got caught, you know, that was the encouragement, was, hey, that means God's after you, you know, in a good way, and be encouraged by that. And, and so, yeah, trying to, you know, in the perversion of all of what pornography is, to see the evidence of grace that's still there in the midst of it. And I just think that is so vital to shine a light on, because this is, you know, such a shaming, just horrific thing. And so, you know, Scott, kind of shifting this a little bit from, you know, taking off our youth ministry hats and onto our father, our roles as fathers. Yeah. you have three children. I have five children. You have two boys and one girl. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's
boys,
right. Yeah.
Girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you seek to prepare your own children for the reality of pornography in this culture? I mean, it's something, you know, as there's an RYM resource out there that I want to point people to, the title of the book, Not If, But When.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that title has everything to do with this conversation, that it's not a matter of if your children will be exposed. It's a matter of when. And so with that reality out there, how do you seek to prepare your own children for this culture?
It's a great question. So real quick, just speaking of resources though, if you're listening and you also, like, maybe you're struggling with pornography, the listener, and, or you have, or it's just like this thing that keeps coming up. There's this really great book by Jay Stringer called Unwanted. And I've read it and listened to it both. And every time I do, the Lord uses it in my heart, and it's just beautiful. And he just has a great way of helping people rethink this problem, this issue of our hearts, right? And that was one of the things that I wish we had lots of time, because I would like to, some of the questions I wanted to ask you are like your religious context as a kid and when you first were exposed to it and all that. But let me go back to your question. Yeah.
But to that point too, I mean, let that be, if we want to say, a teaser for the audience to know that, I mean, we're going to revisit this, and this is kind of just the introductory conversation about it. That's because good. We do want to get more in depth on some of the material out there, as well as research, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Scott.
So yeah, it's a little, I think it's a little harder for me to take my youth pastor hat off completely, because my kids came of age when it was something to really talk about while I was a youth pastor. So, you know, we talk about it at home, but they all have heard my story, because I've shared it with students multiple times. And so they know that it's something that has been, a problem for me. They watch my wife put the passcode into my phone so I can download apps or update apps or delete apps, right? They know that the Covenant Eyes software is on their iPads, and but all that, you know, the only thing that I try to do, and it's not always great, but the one goal I have is just that we are willing, it's just that I can ask them about it, right? How's it going in this area, right? Have you seen anything that you didn't want to see? Have you seen something that was inappropriate that you did want to see? And what was it, and when, and what happened, and how'd you handle it? Have you prayed about it? Have you talked to the Lord about it? I just think that there's no way to, I guess, to, maybe that's an attempt for me to take away the shame a little bit. Not that it isn't shameful. I mean, let's be honest, like it's not, it's not appropriate behavior. It's sinful, but I think that sometimes we, you know, it's easier for us in the Christian environment to, especially as Christian fathers, Christian families, it's like, you know, kids, they sneak out at night, or they, I mean, I had one dad that was like, man, the kid, he, you know, my son, he took the truck, he left, he went over to his girlfriend's house, blah, 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 you know? And that's almost easier for people to talk about than like, oh, my son was looking at pornography, right? And it's just, so to destigmatize this, like, it's, you know, the fact is, like, the other thing that's not lost on me is, I think we were talking about this, and forgive me, listener, for not having the exact stats, but was Pornhub had 7 billion hits every month or something like that.
Kidding. Wow.
And so it's like, you know, I mean, so there's, you know, that when it comes to that, we have a men's small group at our church, accountability group. And I think in our church is, you know, we're pushing 500. I don't know how many, let's say half of them are men. And there's only like 8 guys that go to that small group. Like, you can't tell me that, you know, there isn't plenty of other guys that are struggling. And so I just think that trying to help our children understand that it's not something you talk about as much as, you know, your sports or your school or, you know, but it is something that you just need to address and just say, hey, let's just catch up. You know, how's it going with this?
Yeah, Scott, you said a lot of good things. And it's like there were several things I wanted to chime in on, and I'm going to forget some of them. But one thing, kind of real quick interjection, as we've said plenty of times on this podcast, but I want to just explicitly state it, you know, the two of us are men talking about this, but we have clearly said this is not just a male issue. And so women are listening to this to know we're not, you know, we're not saying this is a male only issue, because I know enough to know that that adds shame to women that do struggle
right.
with this.
Right.
And I don't remember the specific numbers of episodes, but I do know Helen Thorne, as well as Ellen Dykus, have both been on this podcast talking about this from a female perspective. So if people want to go back and search those, they can. I will try to link some of that in the show notes just so people can go back and check that out. But
yeah, that's a really good reminder.
Yeah, but one thing you did say that I think is just important as we're talking about trying to guard from shame over this and grace and all of that, we do have to address this as sin at the same time. And you mentioned that what we have to acknowledge. I mean, this is a sinful action, and it is not beyond the power of Jesus to heal and to cleanse all of that. But you know, at the same time, we've got to be cautious of not addressing it as a sin. And I think just the thing I wanted to emphasize from what you were saying was just how you consistently talk to your children or seek to talk to your children about this issue. That, you know, for parents out there listening, sometimes we don't know where to begin. And sometimes I feel like we can overcomplicate this, and it's just talking about it. Bring it up. Go to your children and say, hey, I know the stats on this. I know this is an issue. Please talk to me. Let's just talk. And even if they're reluctant to, even if they say, hey, this isn't an issue for them, repeatedly bringing that up, I get the sense that, one, it's a prompting of the Spirit that's doing that. And two, by God's grace, it can, you know, shatter a hard heart that if they aren't concealing this, every time you're asking, you know, that's just maybe one of the ways in which the Spirit's going to soften a heart. And so just as complex as this is and as hard as it may be to discuss, just continue to do it. Just continue to make it a conversation.
And I love that. And just as a practical application to that, and I don't know why I've always imagined it this way, but, you know, I think of the situation with Jesus with the woman at the well, you know, I can imagine her drawing water. She's doing her task. He's talking with her. But I've always imagined them side by side rather than like across from one another, just because I think for her it would have been difficult to talk with him. Just knowing that he was a Jewish man and a rabbi and making eye contact. And I'm not saying Jesus probably made eye contact. I'm sure he did that with everyone because it's so important. But I think the side by side, I think I imagine it side by side because of the shame and then the difficulty with this topic. I think that when you address it with your kids, you know, try to do it like in the car. You're sitting next to you. Maybe you're on a walk. I don't know, you're cooking dinner together or something, just to do it in a way where it's, I think if you say, hey, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about something, it's really important and it is important, but I think that the more you, the more intense, if you ask my wife, like I've done this so many times, like I just make a bigger deal out of something than I need to. and it is a big deal, but I don't want to sound like it's not. I'm saying you should take it casually, but it's such a heavy topic.
Yeah.
That I know that when I've done my best confessing, it's when I'm on a walk with someone or we're both together doing the same thing, right? We're fishing. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, well, one, that's very interesting just to think about that scene with Jesus and the woman at the well, to think side by side. I've never thought that specific. I mean, one, it's just, I think the more we can humanize those narratives and kind of sure the setting and all of that, the more real it comes. And so that's just a helpful practice in our Bible reading. But to think the side by side, I mean, like you said, there's so many cultural things already that that would make that looking in each other's eyes that difficult, but then also the conversation that they're having. So that's just fascinating and just good advice for parents out there to say, hey, look, with any discussion, we can kick down the front door and talk about it, or we can kind of come in the side door that there's more subtle ways to accomplish the same thing. Scott, I know we don't have a ton of time left, but there is, a question, and this might be just a more difficult question, and it's something that maybe we can punt to a later time. But, as we're talking about this issue, as an issue that is sinful, and I'm kind of thinking, with the two of us having daughters, and I just want to say again, this is not just a male issue, it's a female issue too. But I'm thinking of specifically trying to prepare my daughters as they may date, and I try to communicate they might not be married one day, that it's ultimately God might be calling them to singleness. I never want to promise that they're going to get married, but when should we tell our daughters to be cautious in a relationship where they're dating a guy that might be addicted to pornography? Because you and I, we've been in pastoral ministry long enough. I mean, I've seen firsthand divorce over this issue. I've seen men that are so addicted that they could not have a relationship with a woman. And when we say addiction, we just have to be so clear. I mean, this is just as powerful as any drug. Know that the rewiring of the brain and the neuroplasticity, that we do not need to minimize how severe that addiction can be. And so, I want to raise my own daughters with grace towards a boy that they may date that's struggling with this, but then at the same time, give them caution to say, okay, there does need to be conversation on trying to discern how serious this addiction may be, to the point of, seeking help prior to, entering into a marriage with this person. There's a lot there, Scott.
Yeah, I know. I think I can do quick answer. Great question. So one of the things you said real quickly, made me think of, the power of addiction here, that I just listened to the latest Covenant Eyes podcast, and they had a guy on there named Jonathan Broom, I think. Hang on. And he was an ex-porn star who became a Christian. Joshua Broom. Wow. It's a fascinating story. And he goes around and shares. He was in the industry for 6 years. He said that he's been to countries like Venezuela, where kids will walk 2 miles to a coffee shop with internet access so they can look at pornography, right? 12-year-olds will walk to. So the power of addiction here is like, and most of the kids that we're ministering to and our own children, they have access within a few seconds. So
yes. Yeah.
We can't forget that. But, one of the questions I always address when I do premarital counseling, and specifically I need to start, I probably do it to both, but I know specifically with young men, I'll ask the woman, I'll say, who can you go to in his life? Who does this young man have in his life that he listens to? That, is it a pastor? Is it a dad? Is it his dad? Is it a mentor of some kind? Is it a youth leader? Who does he listen to? And the reason I ask that question is that, when you guys talk about pornography, when you talk about struggles in life, like, is he gonna, if he doesn't have somebody who he listens to, that's a red flag for me. And so then let's lay this over the, template of a younger daughter who's not engaged, but just wants to date. Yeah. That's going to be one of the questions, is like, okay, who do you have in your life that you're accountable to, right? And I don't just mean that for pornography. I mean that for your attitude toward others. Absolutely. Who are you serving? You know, and so I just think that's such an important question, is who do you listen to? Because, you know, isn't the great temptation just to be autonomous, right? That we don't want accountability. We don't want people criticizing us and questioning us, and because that grates against the fact that we want to be God. And I'm just shocked when I see husbands or young men who, you know, they don't really have anybody who they listen to, right? That was important for my wife when we were dating and thinking about getting married, is, you know, she had like four guys that she could call and say, hey, he's being a jerk. Like, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Scott, that is excellent advice. And I mean, yeah, biblical. I mean, we see, you know, just having older mentors in the lives of younger people. And, you know what, Scott? It's like, as you're saying that too, I'm thinking, you know, I haven't seen specific stats on this, but what I have seen stats on is the decline in friendship among this next generation. And I would just assume if there's an increase in loneliness and isolation, then, I mean, what does that say for having older mentors and in the lives of these young people? And so just that is such good advice to be passing on to our, you know, sons and daughters of, you know, if you're seriously thinking about, you know, dating someone, I mean, one, first and foremost, I mean, look at their commitment to a local church, but then two, kind of, do they have mentors in their life? Yeah, I can't, this is kind of a side note, but I cannot tell you how many times in youth ministry I'd have a student come in and kind of be excited and say, hey, I've got a boyfriend or I've got a girlfriend. And they were so excited. And I'd say, all right, great. And my first question was, where do they go to church?
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you, almost 100% of the time it was, I don't know.
Yeah, right. And, right.
You know, depending on my relationship with them, if I was closer to them, I'd you know, say, so you're telling me you're dating this person, you have no idea if they're in a church.
Right. It's just, I know.
So,
and so the best thing we can do as dads is that we ourselves have people that we listen to.
Yes.
And they know that. Like, the kids know that. They know that like Pastor Jeff and Pastor Brian, even though we're all working in the same church, we're all teaching elders in the PCA, they're my pastors, right?
Yeah.
My elders are the people that I've confessed sin to before, you know? So I think the more that they see that, the more that they understand how important it is. And just the hope is that our children, as they enter into that stage of life, if they enter into that stage of life, like you said, that they'll recognize that without even thinking about it. Like, that's something that's important to me in this other person, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I know we're needing to draw this to a close, and you just said something that I wanted to say as we're finishing this up. One of our most downloaded episodes we ever had was with Joe Novenson. He's been on a handful of times.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been the first one that he was on. I cannot remember. But he talks somewhere in there about just having good friends. And I think he talks about those that will, I think he says something along the lines of trespass on his property and hunt on his property, meaning that they have free reign to ask him about absolutely anything in his life. And just for all of us to have those people in our lives that will, quote unquote, get in our business, because we need people getting in our business.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So, Scott, look, I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation.
Let's do it.
Talking about your favorite topic, according to your students. But no, I'm sincerely grateful for your wisdom on this, and just want to encourage all those youth workers out there to be talking about this in your youth ministries, talking to your students, parents, you know, use this as just a prompting to have a conversation with your own children about this topic. Scott, thanks again for your time, and thanks for your wisdom.
Thank you, John. Yep.